All right, so Zoltan's charge to me was to deliver a few words from the theoretical perspective of why we actually care about top quark physics now that we've actually discovered it, or we believe that we've discovered the top quark. I began by sort of thinking back things before my time, but what the progression of discoveries was that led up to the top quark. Mostly this was a series of discovering more and more generations in the quarks, confirming the structure of the gauge interactions that we believe, like the discovery of the gluon and the weak bosons and so on, putting the standard model together, and then finally finding the top quark candidate in sometime in the 1990s as well, confirming SU2 left gauge theory. So we really believe that there is necessarily a partner of the bottom quark. And then what implication does that have for us? So we believe firmly in this three-part gauge structure that we have, QCD and the electroweak interaction, which is broken down to electromagnetism, with three generations of particles, the quarks and leptons, which carry different charges under those different groups, and how the top quark fits in, and reasons why we believe that it should be there. We, of course, have to have three generations of matter to have CP violation, so this affects many more things that we see, not just the doublet pairings. It's not just spectroscopy. But the top is a little bit odd. It's abnormally heavy, although it does look like the standard model top quark. Its cross-section for pair production at the Tevatron is the right size for it to be a spin one-half object that respects QCD. And the branching ratio looks like it's about what you expect from weak decays of a spin one-half fermion in the SU2 left representation. Its charge is actually not measured, but we don't really expect any surprises there. It's just something to keep in mind. Why did that go the wrong way? Oh, sorry. Hit the wrong one. So, now that we see this thing, and any theory that wants to have the top quark charge be different than what we think it is really exotic and has problems with other data, we could say, well, we're done. We found it. Let's move on. It's not interesting anymore. That's actually not good enough. The top quark background, the top quark is a background to many new physics processes at the LHC, if not just at the Tevatron as well, and we have to model it well. And I'm going to make a case that says we actually model it fairly poorly at the moment. It's good enough for what you can do at the Tevatron, but when it comes to LHC, we're actually really in the dark about how many of these things go. Top is standard model-like, but it's actually not well measured. We actually don't know any of the gauge couplings to photons, Zs. The gauge coupling to the W is constrained only sort of at the 200% level. VTB is not really known directly from this either. So there are quite a few things about top that we don't know yet because we simply haven't measured it. We've only measured QCD production.
Are some of these measured indirectly in
deep? Sure, but that's indirect, right? We always want to look at things directly to make sure that we understand.
If you mess one of them up, you're going to have to mess something else up in order to.
Presumably, but we want to confirm that the picture is as we think it is. And third, the top can be a window to new physics. You can have two Higgs doublet models that influence its decay or its production or associated production. SUSY is another particular case of that. In little Higgs, you get mixing of the top quark with an extra heavy top state, so it actually looks sort of standard model-like, but not sort of standard model-like. In top color, there are some other funny effects as well. There's a Z prime that would be influenced in the third generation only, and affect the gauge couplings to weak bosons that way with the top quark differently than the standard model. It could be flavor physics. There are lots of many reasons, lots of reasons why we would expect new physics to appear in the top quark sector. And of course, these three things are related, but we can think of them for the moment as distinct classes. So as far as modeling top goes, we know QCD corrections to TT bar production. That's the next to leading order case. In fact, this is done all the way up to partial next to next to leading order plus next to next to leading log. And we know that the corrections are about plus 40%. So things appear to be fairly well under control there. But the uncertainty on these calculations is still in the 5 to 20% range. The number you get for the uncertainty depends on how you consider the kinematics of the final state and the next to next leading log case. Experimentally, we can do better than 10%. So we need to be able to match that theoretically. So I would say that at least a full next to next leading order plus next to next leading log calculation needs to be done simply to match experimental precision. Most of the physics backgrounds that we have to worry about involve very complicated final states. Now, top is fairly complicated. It has TT bar decays will give you up to six final states that you can see in your detector. But that's not always sufficient. In fact, TT bar plus a hard parton or plus two hard partons is one of the dominant backgrounds to many sources of new physics, even just standard model Higgs boson decays at the LHC. Figuring out what the normalization is for these extra hard partons in top events is quite difficult. Pythia and Herwig are known to give incorrect rates. They're quite very much too low for the hardness of the partons one normally experiences. In leading order matrix elements, while there is a kludge to get these things to match a reasonable prediction, are infrared unsafe. And so there's a simple matching which is possible, but it's not well defined. The uncertainties on it are quite large.
So for that, we dealt by the Steffel fix you need L2 how?
Yeah, but it's not correct. There are new color structures that come in at next to leading order.
next to leading order and dwarf production.
Yeah, big deal. This is an extra This is an extra hard parton. You introduce new color structures once you have an extra parton in there. And the next leading order corrections go completely differently than at leading order, and the rates are different.
What I've seen is they have XC at LO, which is a next leading order.
This is not jet, and that's not bad.
He wants TT bar jet.
TT bar plus one or two jets at next to leading order. Now, in fact, there is a German group that has already working code for TT bar jet at next to leading order, but they probably won't have results until the summer. And to do much of the background calculation that you need for things like Higgs searches and decays to W pairs, you need these. So we need this proper normalization to be taken into account. And then there has to be proper matching between extra hard jets that come from the decay side and from the production side. There are still ambiguities that are not well understood there. So there's quite a bit of work that needs to be done here simply in modeling extra hadronic activity in the presence of top quarks. That story is not closed by far. Furthermore, off-shell top production is going to be an issue at the LHC. Again, it's mostly in cases where you have top as a background to new things. And again, Higgs is one particular case that's interesting, where the particular kinematics that you look for Higgs decays to W to leptons in the presence of, say, two forward scattered quarks, so it's weak boson fusion, you're looking in the off-shell regime of top production. And if you properly include off-shell effects of the top quarks, your prediction for the background coming from top changes by a factor of two or more. So this is much larger than the next to leading order corrections. So we'll have to go from the point where we can do next to leading order for on-shell top production to doing it for off-shell top production, if we want to actually understand all these signals correctly. It's not important for discovery, but once you have identified some case of new physics and then you want to go and measure its properties, like couplings, so you need to know various rates precisely and be able to separate different components of the signal in, say, different channels, you need to know these backgrounds very accurately. And TT bar jet, including off-shell effects, is the dominant uncertainty for all Higgs physics at the LHC. So there are actually two broad categories of things that are completely untouched at next to leading order that will have to be done if we want to make full advantage of Higgs physics at the LHC. And then other things like TT bar spin correlations. This is the well-known formula for looking at the spin correlations in a particular frame. The I and I bar refer to this, the spin basis that you use for that. And the next to leading order corrections to this are important as well. That will eventually have to be put together with more of the other stuff here to make the most of those spin correlations. The theoretical uncertainty is greater than the experimental uncertainty in all the cases I've outlined above, so it's really up to theorists at this point to catch up to what the LHC capability will be. In some cases, this is going to be important to the Tevatron, but that's also going to depend on how much luminosity they get, so it may or may not be an issue depending on how well they perform. But we should be prepared to... Okay, what happened? I swear I only hit the arrow button. See if it just went into sleep mode or something like that. Yeah, okay.
Is it all plugged in securely?
Yeah, I think it just went to sleep because I've been on that slide for too long. Got bored. Okay, so beyond just understanding top as a standard model object and being able to calculate it as a background for other processes quite accurately in all phase space regions and to high orders, we need to understand the top properties as well. Non-QCD top properties. For example, the photon and the Z couplings at the top are essentially unprobed, as I mentioned before. So we actually have to measure TT bar Z and TT bar photon rates probably at the LHC. I think that the Tevatron and the cross sections are just too small to do anything useful there. The coupling to the W and B is roughly limited from what we know about the branching ratio being approximately 1 if you make additional assumptions about VTB and the fact that we don't see single top production yet. That helps limit that case as well. The Clio B to S gamma data are more interesting, so here's a case for Lance where B physics data is actually highly constraining in some of these things. But we want to try to measure this exactly as well. We'll do that primarily through single top production, which should be observed at Tevatron sometime soon. In fact, I think that Kirsten will have something to say about that. The top lifetime is also slightly constrained from data, and it involves these other couplings I just mentioned in VTB, but we can only measure it indirectly at the Tevatron and LHC by combining several measurements cleverly to extract it. It's not a good measurement in that sense, and we would probably want to measure it directly via a threshold look at the top quark pair cross-section at a linear collider. We always want direct data whenever possible. It's also much, much more accurate. And finally, the Yukawa coupling, or Yukawa couplings, depending on what kind of an electroweak symmetry breaking sector we observe. We want to measure this directly. The top quark Yukawa coupling is suspiciously 1 in the standard model, so you can guess already that there's either something special about top, not everything else, or that top is normal and everything else is abnormal. Either way, you want to see how the electroweak symmetry breaking sector interacts with the top quark. That's a likely suspicious place for something to appear. And doing this would confirm the picture of spontaneous symmetry breaking for the fermions as well, as the spontaneous symmetry breaking sector is also generating the fermion masses. It's likely that at the LHC we can't see any other decays. Maybe the decay to taus if the Higgs is light enough, but we won't be guaranteed access to any other fermionic mode. Again, the TT bar spin correlation would show that it's a spin 1/2 fermion. We pretty much believe that, although there are a couple of cases where you can say that the thing we've discovered is a spin 0 or spin 1 object or has a component of that mixed in with it. And this provides also a direct constraint on VTB taken by itself. It would also confirm that the top lifetime is too short for QCD hadronization to occur if we see this. So it's interesting from several different points of view. The charge, I'll mention that again, is something that you want to go and do to rule out some of these exotic models, although it's not very likely. We're not going to say that this is something we suspect is going to happen. But we'll need the LHC to confirm it. There are two principal ways you can do this. Look at TT bar photon production, measure some of its angular distributions and its overall rate to see that the photon actually couples with a plus two-thirds factor. With a two-thirds factor to the top rather than four-thirds. Or, if you're very lucky and you can do B jet charge measurement, you only need a handful of events where you have a top decay semileptonically and you can tag that B's jet charge to see that it matches. But that depends entirely on how cleanly they'll be able to do that, and not much is known about B jet charge tagging at the moment. Now, a few specific cases we'll go through. This is not comprehensive by any means, but it can give you an idea of the kinds of physics that you might see that is in the top sector. For example, two Higgs doublet models of type 2, which would include the Suzy variety, where the two different Higgs doublets each take care of either the spin up or the spin flavor up or flavor down type fermions, but they don't mix. This is driven primarily by the parameters of the mass of the pseudoscalar and tangent beta, the ratio of the vacuum expectation values of those two doublets. In Suzy, at the very least, small or large tan beta is preferred, something like 3, which is right up against the LEP limits, or something very large like 30. There are 5 physical states that we would observe, 2 CP evens, a CP odd, and a charged pair. The charged is interesting because top could decay to it if it's kinematically allowed. And that region is not excluded by LEP at all, so there is the possibility that Tevatron could say there is some component in there, although at the moment it's not looking likely. And then you can have top pair associated Higgs production, which would directly measure the different Yukawa couplings of the sector combined with such factors as alpha, the mixing of the CP even states, and tangent beta, according to those formulae, which you really don't need to know unless you're just really interested. But I should say that in most cases, that's difficult to observe at hadron colliders. You may need a linear collider to do that. There are also Suzy decays of the top that are non-Higgs sector. In addition to the charged Higgs decay, the top could decay to something like a stop in a gluino if it were light enough, or stop chargino, stop neutralino, etc. all of which have branching ratio of order 1, which could be like 50% or 25% or 75%, depending on the mass of this thing, if it's kinematically accessible. Now, light stops and light bottoms aren't so likely in the MSSM. That picture can change in extended SUSY sectors, but it's something that you want to look for. R parity, if it's violated at tree level, gives abnormally strange decays, which could be rare, such as top going to stau B, which then goes to tau B neutralino. And the trouble with that is that it gives a signature remarkably like a WB decay as well. You typically would get a lepton or a jet out of it, and maybe you miss a jet. So that would be an interesting challenge for experiments to put a limit on that case. If R parity is violated at one loop, you tend to get much stranger decay, such as a flavor-changing neutral current decay to charm sneutrino, which would give an interesting signature, but is difficult to dig out of QCD backgrounds at hadron colliders, and it has extremely small branching ratios. There are some more interesting loop-induced flavor-changing neutral decays that you can have, such as top to charge charm gluino, charm photon, charm Z, charm Higgs, and so on. The more interesting way to look at that may actually be in production, single top production, associated with something that you don't expect. It's just a crossed process. In a completely different vein, let's look at little Higgs models for the moment. The motivation of these things is to look at the precision electroweak data and say, we don't see a Higgs where we expect it to, and we have this hierarchy problem. We do expect, perhaps, flavor physics at the 5 to 10 TeV scale, because we don't see any kinds of deviation of precision electroweak data for effective operators up to that scale, but we expect to see it sometime soon. So let's postpone electroweak symmetry breaking to the same scale as where we expect flavor physics to appear, some scale F, which is maybe 5 to 10 TeV. The basic idea of these models is to have some large, complicated gauge group structure that's broken down at this scale to the standard model, which typically introduces a lot of extra content. These pions are extra scalars that appear, although they can typically be heavy. They're interesting because you do get doubly charged scalars out of it as well. Z primes, W primes may be in an extended Higgs sector, and this extra heavy top that mixes with the standard model top. Because it mixes with that, its gauge couplings to W, Z, and photon will be shifted from the standard model value. So one way for looking at new physics would be looking for TT bar Z at a hadron collider and see if that cross-section is not what you expect it to be. As well, in the Yukawa sector of the little Higgs models, so I've written the Yukawa Lagrangian in this SU5-inspired little Higgs minimal model, which is somewhat complicated. The only important thing to note is that you have a term that gives a mass to the extra heavy top pair and a term that mixes top, bottom, and the heavy top with the top itself over here. So the mixing would go something like the mass of the top over the mass of the extra heavy top times lambda 1 over lambda 2, which is of order 1. So the mixing is basically driven by the difference of the mass eigenstates. In many cases, the extra heavy top can be too heavy, but you can then go and look for it by checking the standard model observables, like looking to see if VTB matches your prediction or if it's shifted by this mixing angle. And you would do that through single top production, primarily at the LHC, where you can do it much more accurately. And then these are the modified fermion-fermion vector couplings that I mentioned before. And you can see, well, I didn't even try to write down ZTT bar, it's an extremely complicated expression. But you do get mixing with the W as well. So there would be anomalies in single top production simply from the fact that this top has mixed with the extra heavy top state. And then there are modified Yukawa couplings as well. Was that a question? Sorry, I thought I heard someone say something. A third class that we can consider are top color, so strong dynamics models. And I picked top color because it's one that is still viable given the electroweak precision data. In this case, there is extended gauge structure which treats the third generation separately from the first two. This is broken down to the standard model, but you'll have shifted couplings as a result in the same way. You also, so you may or may not see the extra Z prime, but you might see deviations in the coupling of the Z with the top because of this. There's also an effective 2 de Higgs doublet model when you expand this out, which gives you a top pion triplet, which we can't predict the mass for it, but you expect it to be TeV or less in mass. And if you had associated top pair plus this extra neutral pi on production, the cross-section would exceed the standard model T.T. bar Higgs production rate at the LHC by orders of magnitude. So this should actually be easily observable, even for a fairly heavy top pion. In these cases of strong dynamics models, you also expect strange top decays like to a charged pion B, if it's kinematically allowed, or some offshell contribution, which could shift your distributions, even though you get the same typical final state. Expect to see rare flavor-changing neutral current decays as well, same types generally as in SUSY, charm plus bosons, and expect flavor-changing neutral current single top production. So that's an interesting signature that could even be seen at Tevatron if those couplings are not too small. All right, so this is probably enough. I've given you a few representative cases of new physics that can affect the top sector, and realize that they're in distinct general classes. Supersymmetry does it, strong dynamics does it, little Higgs type models do it as well. So in general, the top sector would be a good place to look for effects of new physics, even if the states are too heavy to observe directly. Now, as far as top goes, we believe it's basically standard model-like. There's no question that it appears to be the SU2 left partner of the B, but we need to go and verify this. And then, once we actually do that, we need to start building up our tools to be able to match the experimental precision that we can use in new physics searches, where top is a background, to actually make sense of these things and do more than just discover new states, but actually measure their properties accurately. I think that's enough. Thanks.